The city of Gotham gives rise to villains and darkness. Heroes and defenders of justice will rise up. The villains have chosen their dark path.
Our heroes made the choice of truth over personal happiness, and we have chosen to document it all. We are here to tell their stories. We are Gotham Undercover.
I'm Karen, a.k.a. Scarlet Cougar.
And I'm Jeff, X-Force 11.
Welcome back to another season of Gotham Undercover. We're so excited to be back.
Indeed.
For season 4 of Gotham. Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Yay. Kermit Flail. We're part of the Golden Spiral Media Network. Find us at goldenspiralmedia.com. Or the show's Facebook page by searching for Gotham Undercover. Let's talk about the show. Which episode are we talking about?
All right. So this season so far, the arc is called A Dark Knight, and the episode title is Pax Pinguana. Was written by John Stevens, who's one of the Gotham EPs and has written 8 episodes. And Danny Cannon was the director, another Gotham EP.
That's right. He is the showrunner.
Yeah.
He's the big head showrunner, the big cheese.
Right? There you go.
Good episode. Nice start to the season, I thought.
They threw
a lot of stuff at us, but it didn't seem jumbled or rushed or anything.
No, and I think it was good. It was one of those ones where it was setting things up, but it still had a lot of movement forward and kind of gave us cues on, you know, that we 3 months had passed. So it was nice. I really liked it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Shall we give our ratings up front,
Steve? Yes, let's do.
All right. What did you give it?
Yeah, I gave it 8 Rickrolled weddings.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I didn't use that as my rating, of course, but I was like, oh, they Rickrolled their own wedding on purpose. Yeah, I gave it 8.5 zebra marionettes. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a guy in the asylum who was playing with zebra marionettes, and that's just one of the things I picked out. There was a guy using a feather duster. There was a woman, what was she doing? I can't remember.
She was playing the violin without
That's
any
it.
Strings on it.
A violin without strings. There was a guy with a birdcage on his head.
Uh-huh.
So I just picked out the zebra marionettes because I thought they were very cute. So that's what I used. 8.5 zebra marionettes. I liked it very much. I thought they crammed a lot of stuff in this. They gave us a lot of setup. Mm-hmm. And I was riveted, and it seemed like it went by just like that.
Indeed.
I didn't have any downtime at all. I wasn't bored, you know. But it wasn't like a 10, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing was really like, oh my God, that's the best thing ever. But it was just super good for like a solid foundation for this.
Right. And the cool thing is we were trending at number 3 for a good while on Twitter.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. That means people are watching on the new mm-hmm. night, which is really great. A lot of people are convinced it's going to flounder, but I'm not.
No, I think Thursday night's going to be good for us.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because you can kind of build up the hype during the week and get ready, and you're not going into that Monday lag where you're off the weekend and now you're into Monday. So I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I hope so. I also watched Ghosted after this.
Oh, I want to check that out. I hear it's funny.
So good. You have to watch it. It's so good. First of all, I mean, Craig Robinson and Adam Scott together.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, like Parks and Rec and The Office smashed up together in one show. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. So if anybody likes those kind of shows, you have to watch it. I mean, it's in the same vein as just an absurd, over-the-top sort of funny sort of thing. And Adam Scott is just hilarious, like deadpan hilarious in this. And Craig Robinson is just himself 100%, which is great. So, yeah, I highly recommend it if you're kind of missing that Parks and Rec office sort of thing. I watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine too, which gives me that. But this will be another one as well for me to watch. So, yeah, I highly recommend it. All right. So let's talk about Gotham now. Hold on a minute. Yes. Hold on.
What is this bizarre segue that's happening right now?
Okay, I had to do that to myself. So now the storyline titles, I have a couple here. There's a new penguin in town. And instead of the sheriff, there's a new sheriff in town because he is kind of a sheriff in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Swindler's List. And I apologize if that offends anyone, but I thought it was funny. And then I have a couple C stories, Herding Cat. Instead of herding cats, landing in deep water. And that is someone who, at the end of the episode, kind of lands himself in some hot water. And Cool Club, of course, which means the Iceberg Lounge. Because indeed, there was some pivoting points around there. And I'm sure there's some other stuff that we'll get brought into. I mean, there's a little bit with Poison Ivy. I didn't think she deserved a whole storyline on there. But you know, there's some little things here and there that we can talk about. The new penguin in town and Swindler's List kind of connected.
Mm-hmm.
But the list, I thought, deserved its own plot point because that also includes Bruce.
Uh-huh.
So Swindler's List is more Bruce trying to do his detective work and find out what's going on. The penguin in town is more the GCPD side of things.
Yeah.
So we can talk about all this stuff together if you want. We don't really have to follow a strict thing, but why don't you pick? What do you want to talk about first?
Let's do the new penguin in town.
Okay,
so
great. Yeah, so Penguin has decided he's going to give licenses for crime.
Yeah, and it's interesting. He evidently went to the GCPD, the leadership in the city, too, and said, let me handle this, and he's brought crime down, and now he's adding this, you know, license to rob or kidnap or do whatever.
Right, just not license to kill, thank goodness, yet. But again, that's something that Gordon brings up is, you know, what happens when he hands out a license for murder? What does happen? Of course, the cops that are on Penguin's side, because they have it easy, they don't have to do much work. They're good with it. They don't care.
Well, I mean, you think about what they went through last season.
I get it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, you know, when their precincts getting blown up and attacked like every season, you know, sure, you're like, okay, we can't stand for this.
Right. Yeah. Let someone else do it for a change. Mm-hmm. I see their point.
Right.
However,
yeah,
I think Jim's a little more right because.
Yeah, exactly.
You really shouldn't just hand out licenses for people to commit crimes. I do have to say as well, though, that Oswald had a point to say, you know, crime is down because of what I'm doing. And also I'm taking this blueprint from other thriving regimes through history.
Hmm.
You know, there were other dictators that allowed crime as long as he could watch over it. You know, he mentioned Caesar and, you know, some other things, and they allowed corruption as long as they were overseeing it.
Yeah, it was done by the professionals.
Right, exactly right. And, okay, yeah, that is abhorrent. Hello, Trump. But anyway, you can also kind of see his side of it is, you know, it's being controlled.
Mm.
But he's still stealing. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not,
I mean,
good.
He's getting 50% of what they're taking.
Right,
so
right. So, yeah, Jim's definitely right, but no one wants to go with him. No one, because they also want to save their own skin. And this way, at least everyone lives.
Yeah, the hard part is, and I see it from Jim's point of view, because he's saying that, if you continue to allow this, then it's going to be that much harder to get the citizens back on their side and to take back over.
Right.
And it's just going to bleed over and make it that much harder.
Right.
And he's looking at long term, and they're just trying to get a break on the short term. So,
right.
Yeah,
they just don't want to die.
Right.
I mean, they're only looking at, I want to stay alive.
Mm-hmm.
And James is willing to kind of, you know, put himself on the line for the city.
Mm-hmm.
That's his whole thing is, you know, the city needs to last.
Mm.
I don't care about myself as much, but, you know, the people of the city need to last. And, you know, injustice is his whole thing.
Right.
You know, injustice can't stand. And in the long run, this will cause injustice. And
mm-hmm.
so he has to stand up. He gets beaten to a pulp.
Oh.
Which was a very tense scene for me. I did not enjoy seeing that at all.
No, uh-uh.
I thought for sure it was going to be him really kind of making a bigger dent in those guys, but he really didn't. he got in a couple really good punches right at the beginning, and then it just went way downhill very fast.
Yeah, yeah.
It definitely was not the scene in the alley with Selena. Selena held her own against three guys or four guys, whatever it was. But James and what was it, four guys that are trained just like him, he's not gonna last that long.
Right. And they know his fighting techniques, you know, they're gonna know, they're gonna have to get him, you know, locked down so he can't use his arms and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
They're all trained police.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're all on an even playing field. In the alley, those guys were roughies and they weren't expecting her, and she's playing dirty. So, yeah, that's a whole different thing. I wasn't fond of that scene. And then the comeback afterward when he's wiping himself off and Harvey comes in to see him and he says, who would hit this pretty face? I thought that was funny because, of course, I love Donald Logue, but you got to say, out of the two of them,
yeah,
Ben McKenzie is definitely the cuter of the two. But yeah, that was a funny remark there. And I like that Harvey, again, is still on the side of good. He is willing to stand up and fight
mm-hmm.
with James. But again, he doesn't, their odds aren't great. And he makes sure to let James know that our odds are not great.
Yeah. Yeah. He's looking at the numbers, you know, he's looking at how things are laid out and he's still listening to authority. Because he kind of sees how it's going to get them, but yet he's got that call within him to kind of to help out and do what's right. And so, yeah.
So he's the captain, right?
Yeah, still the captain.
He's the captain now. and they have a new commissioner.
Right.
And I didn't recognize him. Is he just someone new?
I don't know that we've ever seen him before. You know, like I said, I didn't recognize him. If he has been in there, it's been very briefly and they didn't really make note of it.
Okay.
So
he's no one of note, at least. And I cannot believe that Harvey is still captain. that means they're not technically partners, but they seem to be partners.
Right.
Which is good. I like that he has James's back. Even though he knows that they're kind of fighting this uphill battle. And
mm-hmm.
that's a great thing. I also like that James and Bruce saw each other.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful thing. I love when they interact with each other because that is also setting a foundation for the future.
Mm. Oh, yeah. But it was so cool. Just their interactions and the fact that Bruce has got the Batman enter and leave.
I know, right?
Unannounced. I mean, I was just like, yes.
I know.
He comes in and Jim's like, I didn't hear you.
Right. And then
at the end, he just turns around and he disappeared.
He's gone,
love
yeah.
it. Such
he
a says, typical Batman and Commissioner Gordon thing.
How about we have some dinner tonight. What? Where'd it go? Yeah. And I think he surprised a lot of people. Selena was walking that little tightrope on the ledge, and she said, if you want to talk to me, come up here, figuring that he wouldn't dare come up on that ledge. And he just stepped, he hopped right up there, and he was comfortable. And of course he is, he's Batman. I mean, he's been doing that for a little bit now, and she wasn't expecting it. She was surprised, I think, to see him comfortable in her environment, which is walking on the edge. And if you notice, she was really on the edge. It showed her feet, and she was, you know, pivoting right there on the edge of the walk.
Right.
And it showed Bruce very nonchalant, just walking down the center of that ledge.
Exactly.
And it shows how different they are, that Bruce is comfortable up there, but he walks the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
And while she's comfortable, she's also very eager to walk on that very far edge of danger. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was really quite an allegory for how they both live, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And the interesting thing, they've both been training over these last 3 months. Mm-hmm. And you've got Alfred as a mentor, and you've got Tabitha as a mentor.
Yep.
And just to see the difference between the two of them and how they're walking that out. And with Alfred, I just really appreciate it, because he's got the ability to give that advice there. And I love the way that he kind of steered Bruce to say, listen, there's a time for, you know, Mask, and there's time for Bruce Wayne to step up. And I just appreciated that, where the Tabs and Selena, it was like more of a suggestion thing, and I'm not going to let, you know, there's not that authority there that there is between the other two. So
theirs is more intuition, I think.
Yeah.
That, They kid each other, and they say things out loud, like, you know, don't steal my pepperoni, and, you know, that stuff's out loud. But when it comes to having each other's back, they don't say it.
Right.
You know, Selena has said, I'm going to go to the party. I want to get this license. At least, you know, we'll be we won't be fighting for ourselves. And so she goes to the party, and she's pretty sure that Tabitha won't come and take her back, but Tabitha does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of this unspoken bond they have.
Right.
And then, of course, on the other side is Bruce and Alfred, and they do have that unspoken bond, but there's also this sort of thing where Alfred just says this one little sentence, and Bruce knows exactly what he means.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's a whole different dynamic, where theirs is very quiet and understated, but Alfred speaks. Mm-hmm. Where Tabitha is like a jackhammer, but she doesn't speak, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I liked Alfred's talk to Bruce there at Wayne Manor about mission creep, about really questioning him of what do you really want to do, which is going to take priority, because things are going to get dangerous really quick when you're trying to add and add and add, right, and you're just getting started.
Gotta narrow it down. You know, he's saying you gotta have one focus. What do you want to do? And I think that's really playing into that detective thing, where he's going to become the world's greatest detective. You know, narrow the focus, narrow it in. And yes, you might fight crime, but that doesn't mean you won't fight different opponents over the course of things. But you do need to hone it in every time. And I think that's one of his weaknesses, is getting distracted. Batman,
yeah.
You know, because Catwoman distracts him all the time. he gets off balance by her. And, you know, I can see that happening in Gotham, is, you know, she's playing a pretty big role
yeah.
in this show. And I could see her. I mean, he was distracted by her at the party.
Yeah.
I mean, mid-sentence, he says her name and off, you know, off he goes to talk to her. And I like that Alfred actually, you know, acknowledges her, goes outside and says, you know, what is her last name? Does he call her
Miss Kyle?
Yeah. Miss Kyle. And just turns around and walks off. So they have this kind of truce, her and Alfred. Yeah. And I think he realizes how much Selena means to Bruce. And I like he comes out and he says, why can't you guys just go to the movies like any other pair of teenagers? Yeah. Instead of this, you know, you're walking on a ledge on top of a building. You know, of course, that's ridiculous. Yeah. And what you said earlier about Alfred telling him there's time for the mask and time for Bruce, I thought that remark was incredibly insightful of him, because Bruce wanted to run out and fight crime. You know, my stuff's in the car, let me go get it. Well, that's one of the things that, you know, Batman and Superman have that clash of Superman wants to always run out, change into his costume and come in and fight crime. And Batman has way more of a subtler touch on things, where he can do things as Bruce Wayne. And that was so evident here that, you know, he steps forward. Well, what will you be doing with these prisoners? Will you be turning them into the police? And he can do that as Bruce Wayne. Ask those questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's acting. It's almost like he's acting on Batman's behalf. You know what
right.
I mean?
Right. And we see that in the scene with Jim, where he's really giving Jim the way to get what Jim wants, and making it that suggestion, planting that idea, and then he makes that work for him as well.
Right. And that, again, I'm going to compare it to Batman later on. That's how Batman does stuff. You know, he swishes in and he leaves the clue and then he swishes back out. I mean, that is Batman all over the place. And then it's also Bruce Wayne who comes in and talks to someone and asks a few, you know, well-placed questions. And then he uses that later as Batman. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's a really good comparison to the later, you know, the older Bruce Wayne slash Batman. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know they're writing it that way. I know they are.
Yeah.
But I don't know if people get that it's so good. I really
don't know. I don't know if they do either, if they haven't really read the comics or spent time really watching something in depth beyond just the 2-hour movies. Because I think when you've watched like the animated series and read the comics, you can see that played out over a longer time and see those things coming back, you know, the things planted, you know, in the gun in Act One, and it comes back in Act Three.
Sure.
You know, you can kind of see those things, whereas with the movies, you've got to do things in a shortened span, so you don't have as much time to play those things out. So I don't know if they do, but I imagine that some do.
Good. I hope so, because I really am appreciating these, like, call forwards to the future Batman and the future Catwoman and the future Penguin. We're definitely getting the future Penguin in here.
Oh, yeah. I really like the direction. Your title was the new Penguin. There's a new Penguin in town. Mm-hmm. And he really is taking that control. He's more self-assured. He's walking out his plan. He is pulling himself back as far as getting too much rage. I'm just really enjoying how he's playing himself this season and just being smart in it, and he's learned from the past. He's still not fully there, but he's made those steps down the road.
Yeah. I did notice him pulling himself back a couple times. That is a very astute comment you made. I wouldn't have picked up on it. I mean, I wouldn't have said anything about it if he didn't say it, but a couple of times he has been wanting to be angry, and then he takes a breath, and then he goes back into like the regular, you know, even Oswald, you know, non-crazy Oswald. and I noticed that a couple times, and I'm guessing that's something that he's been practicing over the last few months, because he has to practice that, right?
Yeah.
He'd have to, because it's not his normal thing. His normal thing is to his emotions to be all over the place. And I think a lot of that is that he has his nemesis in ICE, right? He feels a little more under control.
Right.
With Ed in ICE. And that helps him. He could just go there and look at him and say, look what I've done.
Exactly.
I have some control on the situation. And he has Victor, who I loved seeing in this episode.
Oh, my goodness. Victor Zsasz. I mean, he's been fun the times that we've seen him. Mm-hmm. But in this episode, you really get to – he really got to shine in this episode and let that quirky characteristics get walked out. And it was just – fun to watch and how he's walking it out, and it's just like role. Yes, more Zsasz, please.
Yes, please. I loved him. I loved every minute of his screen time, especially when he wanted to pat down Tabitha, and she said, "Not if you want to be missing. You don't want to be missing a hand." And he said, "Eh, it was worth a shot." Very funny. Very dry sense of humor.
I love the comment where he's talking, well, you did kill his mom and try to kill him, so call it even.
Yeah. And when he was about to leave during that little interchange, he said, oh, and I really should mention this is a kind of need to do thing, you know, that he said, you gotta show up. So... I really enjoyed his time in this episode. I haven't liked him this much for a long time. And, he hasn't really been in the show this much for a long time. So now that Butch is kind of out of the picture as the side guy, we have Zsasz. And what a treat. More Zsasz. I agree. Talk about pizzazz. I mean, I could have used that as a title again, but I have used it in the past. So we'll just mention he was awesome in this episode. And I like him interacting with everybody. I mean, everybody he interacted with was just a great play off each other. So, yeah, he was great. And, of course, Penguin with the press and... I mean, if everybody didn't know that Gordon was egging him on, right? I mean, that's Gordon's whole thing, is to push Penguin into an untenable situation. And then later on, Penguin figuring it out. Isn't that the whole thing? that happened. And he had the guys down on their knees. And then... everything ensues, hilarity ensues when Ivy doesn't get noticed and she pulls the lights.
Enjoy your party.
Yeah. Does Oswald know that Ivy is the Ivy who was like 8 and now has grown into an adult?
I don't know if he is. You would think after 3+ months of being around her, but then again... Is he really listening to her?
Right. Because that is a temper tantrum that isn't out of the norm for her. And I would assume she's been pouty the whole time. This isn't new.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't think this is just say, hey, after 3 months, I finally, you know, snapped. I think she's been pouty the whole time. So, that was an interesting change. There, that, you know, it looked like it was going to go Penguin's way. And then all of a sudden, because he ignored Ivy, she stomped off and turned the tide, which was interesting, I thought. But of course, that also means that we have the Scarecrow on the loose.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Yeah. This storyline was very cool. Because I loved the way that he was brought back in, and I love the way that that he was, you know, building this, you know, taking what his dad did and making it his own. And it's going to be interesting to see this character develop over the season.
Oh, man, he is nuts. And they made him what he is. They put him in the room with that scarecrow. And hello, I mean, don't turn a crazy guy even more crazy. How dumb can they be?
Well, they're looking for tools, but they don't realize what who they're dealing with, and you know, just the raw power that he has, and yeah, they're gonna get bit majorly.
Yeah, he's gonna go after them first, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Definitely.
Yeah, and see, I would make a comment about them, but Chris's feedback includes a line about it, so I'm not going to steal it from him, about who one of them looks like, because I noticed it too. So I'll let Chris have that. And also, we need to talk about the list.
Yes. So it seems very interesting. I mean, Penguin's got these licenses, and he's got this list, but just giving away who has the list, is that really smart? I mean, come on now.
Well, he thinks Bruce is on his side. And, you know, that's the whole thing, is if he can brag to someone about it, then he might do it.
Yeah.
You know, hey, there's my guy. He works for me. I got him under my thumb. And did you like how his name was Penn?
Yeah, definitely.
Of course, because he makes a list. And I could see him giving it away as like a brag, a humble brag sort of thing to Bruce. And, you know, Bruce was very sincere appearing to him, you know. And, of course, bringing up his parents.
Oh, I think that really sealed the deal.
That was the clincher, I think. You know, if 3 years ago, if things were like this, my parents would still be alive. Well, that turned it right there on its ear. Penguin said, of course. And, well, just between you and me, here's how the list gets done. And that's how, you know, that's how he included Bruce in his little scheme. And then I'm not sure that he thought that was a great idea later when Bruce steps up. But by then it was already too late. So yeah. Now at least we know we have a list. Bruce went and got it, and he did the swishy thing again.
Oh, yeah. Even causing the lights to flicker.
Yeah. So great. So great. So we have the list taken away from Mr. Penn, which means it's in the hands of someone. Did he take it to the GCPD?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But it's probably back at Wayne Manor.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely. Or it's on his person.
Or it could be in the car.
Could be. But if it's on his person when he's arrested, then it's at the GCPD.
Yeah.
And we need to talk about that too.
Yeah, for all, I mean, it just seems, the silly thing is, I know he's still growing, but at the beginning we see him immediately like ripping off his facial covering, and then he's doing the exact same thing at the end. I'm like, you've got to learn.
Right. Not just that, but hello, it's glass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, leaning in to see, and oh.
And what are you going to do? Make up your mind right away. Are you going to try and get down in there and save the people or what? I mean, don't just stand there and lean on the glass. And when it starts cracking, maybe take your hands off.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of just going, oh, no, you know, back off right away. But no, he lets it go. He falls in and the thieves get away. He's got his mask in his hand, which looks like a robber's mask.
Exactly. He's dressed in all in black.
Right? Yeah. So not so good. And of course, he doesn't have a license. But he has a list somewhere, whether it's on his person or back at Wayne Manor. Is he going to use that as a bargaining chip? You know, he's going to run into James at some point there, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So that's where we leave that. I don't think we missed anything really, right?
No. I think there, you know, one thing that I thought was interesting, I didn't know if the whole scene with Selena in the alleyway.
Right. The training scene. Yeah.
Right. So was this a continuity error, or was it on purpose that she made her hair big and poofy, and then the very next scene, it's back to normal hair? I mean, it looked like she was wearing a wig in one. I'm like, did they just put the wig on the stunt double, and then so they had to put it on her so it looked natural? I'm just,
maybe.
What's going on?
Maybe. I'm sure it was just a continuity error.
Yeah.
I didn't notice it. I really should have, because I have curly hair. I'll have to go back and look.
Volume. I mean, it's like she had this huge, I mean, you could barely see her face. And then the next scene, it's curly, but it's a lot less
back
volume.
Down. I'll have to go look and see. I mean, curly hair does its own thing, but normally it stays about the same size.
Right.
So it can get bigger over time during the day, but, you know, not within a 5-second period. So, yeah, I'll have to go back and look at it. That's interesting. I'm sure it was just a stunt double sort of thing. Although she is trying to do her own stunts.
Yeah, and that's what I've heard is she's doing all that. And so I'm just like, well, maybe she's just trying to play this damsel in distress or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Maybe. Because I know I tweeted that out, and I also linked it in our Facebook group. The little interview she did with TV Line,
mm-hmm.
and they have done 2 episodes so far by the time that had come out. And she shows her forearm, and it has a huge bruise
on it
from doing stunts. And the woman that plays Tabitha says, yeah, I've been really impressed with her. And they do like a high five sort of thing. So, yeah, she really is stepping up. And doing her own scene. So I'm really impressed. If she has done even 2/3 of that scene, I'd be impressed.
I mean, she's stepping up and she's doing a very good job. And it's just amazing. We're in season 4 now. And these both she and David have grown in height.
Yeah.
But just looking at David compared to Robin Lord Taylor, I'm like, woo, gross spurt.
I know, right? They're looking eye to eye, which is weird to me. Really weird.
Yeah.
And immaturity as well. I mean,
yeah.
Just watching them grow and mature as actors. I mean, yeah, the stunt stuff is great. But that scene where they're talking to each other up on the ledge, I think is my favorite scene in this whole episode. And it has no action whatsoever in it. Just them talking and playing Batman and Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what they're doing, is playing Batman and Catwoman up there. And they're just so subtly playing those two roles, only like little proto Catwoman and little proto Batman. I mean, it's just so great the way that they're foreshadowing these characters, and it takes a lot of talent to do that, I think.
Yeah, indeed. I think they're learning a lot. We've talked about how they're learning from the actors all around them and just growing in their craft and having this opportunity in this safe space to grow in it. So yeah.
Yeah. And he and Sean Pertwee have really become very close. And I think that is the most awesome thing ever. So,
yeah.
Just, I love seeing that. Whenever I see them in a picture together, it makes me a little teary. Because I love that they're so close. And they're Alfred and Batman, you know? They should be close. So, all right. So I think that's it for this mm-hmm. episode, at least, talking about it. And I'm going to play you a little promo for one of our other GSM shows, and then we'll talk about feedback.
Hey, John.
Hey, Corey.
Are you ready for another exciting triple cast discussion?
I don't know, Corey. We've had so many themes already that I'm not sure we can keep coming up with them.
Oh, come on, John. Yes, we've done tons of great episodes of triple cast with interesting themes, like Breaking the Fourth Wall, movies that make you cry, Hitchcock-Cary Grant collaborations, 70s dystopian futures, 80s TV to films, and most recently, Prison Breaks. But there is so much more to discuss.
That's true. And listeners can always find previous episodes in the feed, Corey.
That's right, John. And if you, dear listener, have an idea on a great theme and three movies to match it, we'd love to hear from you.
We are part of the Golden Spiral Media Podcast Network. You can join us on Facebook at facebook.com/group/triplecast. And you can follow the show on Twitter at @triplecastGSM. That's pretty easy, right, Corey?
It sure is, John. And we hope that you will join us for a future Triplecast set and give us your feedback and thoughts on the movies that we're discussing.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you at the movies.
Bye.
They're so funny.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And that is, of course, our substitute there, John.
Yeah, it is. Yep,
and our good friend, Corey. And mm-hmm. you guys know I've done stuff with Corey for quite some time. So I love him. He's my friend. Listen to Triple Cast, everybody. They have such great themes on there. I hope to be doing one again soon, as soon as we get done moving. Who knows when that will be, but we'll get some more Triple Cast in. You get to hear most of our hosts on GSM do rotations on there, and you get to hear our thoughts on movies and things and maybe some insights you didn't know.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so feedback. And we do have a feedback from Chris, who got it in way early, which I thought was awesome. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Chris. Thank you.
Do you want to read it or do you want me to read it?
If you would, please.
Sure. Hi, Karen and Jeff. Hi, Chris.
Hey.
To quote Jack Torrance in The Shining, "Hello, Lloyd. I've been away, but now I'm back." So it would appear that one of the pastimes for the good people of Gotham is to get dressed up in their finest and walk down dark alleyways. Not my idea of fun, but I'm not one to judge. Couldn't they have gotten the actual Rick Astley for this scene? It's not like he's doing anything these days. Let me interject there, Chris. He's actually singing with the Foo Fighters sometimes.
Okay.
If you want to look that up, it kicks butt. He sings songs with the Foo Fighters on stage. He's really good, by the way. Okay, so I wish I had a large bowl of money at my wedding. I echo that sentiment, Chris. I wish I had had that as well. I get the feeling that a member of fake Steve Buscemi's, his stepbrother in real life, crew, is going to be one of Scarecrow's first victims.
Yeah, the interesting thing is when I saw the guy, I was like, that guy looks like Buscemi. And so
me too.
I went and looked, and then I put into Chris's feedback, it's not a fake Buscemi, it's his stepbrother. Right.
But stepbrother shouldn't look just like him, but he does. He looks like him. he's not quite as bulgy.
Yeah.
But he looks like him, definitely. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that is Steve Buscemi right there. That is like Steve Buscemi's doppelganger. These five thugs are cruising for a bruising, and Selena Kyle is their cruise director. So Bruce learns the quick, silent exit trick early on. Yeah, we love that too.
Yeah.
Ivy, go somewhere else. I think we've all had that feeling from time to time about someone else. Oh, yeah. Chris, I'm married, so yeah, I have that feeling all the time. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I sure do. For network TV, Jonathan's visions on the Scarecrow are pretty darn terrifying, and I have to say, excellent job of casting this character because he looks like he could grow up to be Cillian Murphy in Batman Begins.
Yeah, they did a good job on the casting.
I agree. He looked like an emo Cillian Murphy. maybe it's just me, but the scene with Selena on the rooftop, I noticed Bruce's voice seemed deeper than normal. To me, he sounded a bit like Kevin Conroy doing Batman, and that's not a bad thing. Yeah, I think his voice has dropped a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
You two, why couldn't you just go to the cinema like normal teenagers? Alfred, using the word cinema, spells out why regular British guys will always be cooler than regular American guys. And I'm a regular American guy, so I could say that. Is Penguin stooping more when he walks? Maybe. He looked like he might be. Well, he has been dead a couple more times, right? It almost seemed as though Zaz and Alfred had a begrudging respect for each other after having each other at gunpoint.
Yeah, not the first time, but I agree that they kind of respect, you know, that they can handle themselves and they're worthy opponents. So. Right.
Yeah, they had each other aimed in their sights and then everything went to hell and they were like, okay, whatever, I get it. Bruce just taking the list was a very Batman-like thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Falling through the skylight and getting arrested was a very un-Batman-like thing to do. Yep, I agree. I'm going to like the Scarecrow when he said, Jonathan Crane is not here anymore. I immediately thought of Danny's not here, Mrs. Torrance, also from The Shining, to create a nice bookend to my comments.
And I got to throw in, reading his comments and bringing in The Shining. Mm-hmm. So, one of the characters, the kind of the big guy in the gang, his name is Grady.
Nice.
So got more Shining.
Another calling. One of my favorite characters from The Shining, by the way.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to rate season openers since by design, they are mostly setting up the board and bringing us back into the story. I thought this did a good job of it, so I'll give it 7.5 out of 10 licenses of misconduct. Thank you, Chris. He felt the same way we did, just getting a little lower. So we have an average of 8 between the three of us, which is good. Did we have any ratings in our Facebook group?
I saw, but let me just flip over there while I'm at it. Sure. But let's see.
Sometimes we get them in right the last minute. We just want to make sure.
Yeah, it's doesn't look like it.
Okay. So between Chris, you and me, we have an average of 8 for the rating of this episode, which is good. It's a good rating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to get your feedback in.
To have your feedback heard and read on Gotham Undercover, please submit by our weekly deadline of Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/Gotham Undercover. And follow the show on Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram at GothamGSM. Please send us your feedback at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can type out your thoughts, leave a voice message using the provided SpeakPipe widget, or you can call 304-837-2278. To find the complete list of Golden Spiral Media podcasts and to leave your 5-star reviews, simply go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple. Now, here are your hosts, Karen and Jeff.
Again, with the voice. It's John.
Thank you so much, John.
Yes, he recorded a new one for us.
Yeah, and we do want to let you know, we understand that it is kind of a quick turnaround. And so please leave your thoughts, and if you can't get it in by that feedback time, please leave them anyway, and we'll play them on the next week's podcast.
Yep, we don't care.
We're just happy to hear from you.
That's right. So why don't you tell us about next week's episode?
So, next week's episode, Under Pressure to Prove That the GCPD is Still Powerful, Gordon attempts to bring in Jonathan Crane. However, Gordon puts himself in a dangerous situation at Arkham when he is forced to fight off lunatics and the demon within himself. Meanwhile, with Barbara's unexpected return, Selena and Tabitha must consider the risks that come with joining her in the weapons business in the all-new Fear the Reaper episode of Gotham, airing Thursday, September 28th, 8 p.m. to 9:01 on Fox. So, yeah, it looks very interesting, and they waited until this episode was over to put up the images for next week because they didn't want to give anything away.
Right.
But they are up in the Facebook group. I've got the images for next week and the week after are up in the album, so check them out.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, because then we'd know about the Scarecrow and that Barbara was coming back and all that stuff.
Yeah.
The weapons business. Mm-hmm. I like that. It's very interesting. And Gordon.
Yeah, Gordon's not having good luck with, you know, he got dosed last season. He's getting dosed this season. He's having a hard time.
He's going to be an addict sooner or later, and they're going to have to, you know, put him in a rehab facility. And then he's going to get dosed there by accident. Oh, well. So it's under pressure. And then don't fear the reaper. Both of these next week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this season. I mean, we've got some good guest stars coming in. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to the storylines that they're bringing in with those guest stars. So we did get a peek at Ra's al Ghul in this episode, just a quick peep. I'm looking forward to this season. I think they're going to really step it up, and I'm looking forward to who they're bringing in.
Yeah, and Bruce did mention that, you know, if I'm ready for when Ra's comes back, I mean, I can't wait. I can't wait for the whole Bruce turning into Batman thing. It's mm-hmm. going to be great. And Lucius is in the picture for this season. So,
oh yeah, the promo will be in our blog post. But very stepping right into that Batman role he is. Yes. So he's helping Batman out just like he's going to in the future.
Let's
so it's going to be good.
Let's get our cue in here, please. He needs to start making the gadgets.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so. That's it for tonight, and we will be back next week mm-hmm. with a review of The Fear Reaper.
That's right.